And we're going to just talk about stuff?
Blog Talk Radio. Carmen Lundy is a celebrated jazz vocalist, composer, arranger, musician, actor, visual artist, to name a few talents of our gifted and soulful guest. She was deeply inspired by her mother, who was a lead singer in the gospel group The Apostolic Singers, and began her professional career in Miami, Florida, as a jazz vocalist and composer. Miss Lundy attended the University of Miami as an opera major, but soon discovered that jazz pulled her heartstrings. As a composer, Miss Lundy's catalog numbers over 100 published songs, and one of the few jazz vocalists in history to accomplish such a distinction. Over four decades later, Miss Lundy is celebrated throughout the world for her vocal artistry and is highly regarded for her jazz innovation. Currently, she lives in California, and we celebrate the body of work Miss Lundy has blessed us all with and congratulate her on her newest release, Soul to Soul, available September 23rd.
Welcome, everybody. This is Tanya Maria, your host of ColoredPeople.net, a multicultural artistic network. And tonight, we have the honor and the privilege to have a few minutes of Miss Carmen Lundy's time. Hi, Carmen.
Hi, Tanya Maria.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really happy to speak to you today. Really, really thrilled
that
you guys want to give me a chance to talk about my music.
Oh, thank you so much. We're honored to have you. I've been researching you and listening to your music and wishing and hoping that I could one day meet you in person. We will talk about your schedule. You have a very heavy schedule coming up in October, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm.
But just the show basically takes our listeners to a journey of your life, and there are many who obviously know you and have been following your career, and there are those who haven't heard of you and your work. So I usually start asking about your childhood. Of course, we know your mom was such a big influence in your life, but I'm also wondering who else, because I know you started at the age of 6 playing the piano, and who else would you attribute to your inspiration?
Well, you know, when you're 6 years old, most of the people you know are your family members.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, then we have the traumatic experience of the first day of school. But the first year of school for me was actually, I think, as far back as I can recall, really loving the sound of music, just loving the sound of music. In first grade, I had, you know, we had music classes, even in grade school at that time. And I remember Mrs. Nyberg. She was East Indian. She wore a sari. That's the traditional East Indian dress. She wore the sari, and she had a long braid that, you know, just moved all the way down her back. And that was my music teacher. And I can remember, you know, those grade schools, they were small, and you could kind of, like, hear the music class, you know, dinging away on our little xylophones. But I can remember making a visual and oral connection to music and the notes and how to arrive at a certain melody. That was really exciting for me as a kid. And it sort of translated for me away from school to the things that were going on at home. Yeah, I was influenced by my aunt. My mother's sister was the piano, you know, kind of the accompanist for her group, for the choir. And I remember observing the way they would rehearse and put the ideas together and learn their harmonies. All those things were wonderfully fascinating to me as a child. So I think because I fell in love so early in life with music, I think it was kind of a natural course that I felt a leaning toward, and I actually made a conscious effort to excel when it came to those kinds of classes. My teachers were huge influences. Even as I got into middle school, high school, even college, I mean, I think teachers are also an important aspect of how we become aware of what's available to us, the choices, and, you know, the guidance that we all associate with really great teaching. So, yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it.
I remember I was probably 15 or 16. I used to spend my vacations in Rio with my aunt. And I snuck into my uncle's bedroom, and I was curious about his music, and I put on a record on his record player. And for the first time ever, I heard the sound of Billie Holiday, and I heard jazz, and I heard all this music that I had never heard before. And I remember watching a video where you talk about discovering jazz when you were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to know which artist really got a hold of you when you started going through that journey. I know there's so many, but I know there's that one.
There's
Billie
definitely
Holiday.
One. In high school, definitely one. In high school, there was a record, an early recording by Herbie Hancock, and it was called Fat Albert Rotunda.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Herbie might have written the theme song to some Bill Cosby tune, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was my favorite. It's still one of my favorite records. But I think it had to have been Herbie Hancock, for sure. There were three. Herbie Hancock, actually I'm going to say four, so you know, so we can document that. It was Herbie Hancock.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Cannonball Adderley had a record, but that
mm-hmm.
was actually his first, I think, Brazilian record. It was called The Happy People. The Happy People.
Wow.
That was the name of it. there was an album by Bill Evans called Waltz for Debbie, which
mm-hmm.
is an incredible record. And the fourth was Miles Davis' Kind of Blue. Those four records were it for me.
You got the bug. Now, you left Miami in 78, right?
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, Miami is just a melting pot, and it's so incredibly colorful and full of life and the Latin music, and, you know, I'm sure that had a big influence in your music. And I, of course, meeting Maida Casales, I know
mm-hmm.
you mentioned in your video.
Maida really, you know, I was playing in Miami with my brother Curtis Lundy, who's a bassist, and we were doing gigs. I think Bobby Watson was also in the band for a time. And we were playing gigs around town. And when you're a college student working six nights a week and then going to school every day, you know, I was trying to introduce jazz to my repertoire, but we were also playing a lot of cover tunes. But it was when I started working with drummers of different cultural backgrounds that I was introduced to other kinds of music. So I think it was Oscar Salas, who played for a little while with Weather Report on drums as a percussionist. Oscar was playing drums with me, and when he wasn't playing drums with me, he would play percussion, you know, the congas, the skin. When I say percussion, I'm always kind of thinking of skins for some reason.
Okay.
You know, like hand drums and all the other accoutrement that comes with that. But it was Oscar Salas who introduced me to Myra. So it was through these direct personal associations, musicians,
mm-hmm.
I was introduced to the Latin music. And at that time, I really wasn't aware. I think I kind of knew what the bossa nova was, but I didn't really know Brazilian music until later on when I fell in love with Elis Regina, Ayrto, Flor Purim, and that kind
yes.
of a, you know, that
yes.
when I went into the direction of the South American. So the Caribbean, the sound of the Caribbean, the calypso, the salsa, and then into
mm-hmm.
South America with the Brazilian music, you know, all of that was definitely shaping the music that was alongside all the R&B, all the great Stevie Wonder. And then somehow this jazz thing occurred while I was a college student. So I think it was a wonderful time to just, again, be so in love with the music that everything was interesting to me. And I embraced as much as I could as a youngster into learning about all these different styles.
That's wonderful. Now, when you went to New York, tell us how was that transition for you?
Oh, I was having a ball. I mean, I just had fun with it. I think I made a clear decision to move to New York, and it took about a year preparing for that. I had met a couple of record producers who were in Miami for one reason or another, and I, you know, made my demos and took my demos with me to New York. And, you know, I think the first time I actually went to New York, I took my big band charts. I mean, it's silly, but I actually did take my big band charts with me. I wanted to spend, a week just kind of learning what the city was about because I had heard so many things and never had seen it for myself. So when I went to New York, I took some charts with me. I went down to the Village Vanguard, very famous for their big band Monday night performances. And at this time, Fat Jones and Mel Lewis were playing at the Vanguard every Monday night. And I took my big band charts in there and courageously approached Fat and Mel and asked them if I could sit in. I had my own charts. They thought that was the most adorable thing, this young girl, you know, all of 20 or whatever I was, 22 years old, and I'm walking in there in the Vanguard with my big band charts and asking them if I could sing them. They thought it was really cute. So they actually invited me to the stage, and they actually read my three songs. It was amazing. Wow. And I hadn't moved to New York then, but that was such a wonderful way to be introduced in this kind of spirit of camaraderie in the musicians and just the whole embracing and welcoming the new talent. I thought that was fantastic, and I really had no fears moving into New York. When I got there, I started singing every weekend at the same club and met all these great veteran artists from Jackie Barra to Walter Bishop Jr. to Don Pullen to Kenny Barron, and I sang with all of them. And that's how I really got to, I guess, kind of become a little known within the musician circles and started to be invited to perform with all of these artists that I just mentioned. So I just had, you know, I just kept going forward, just moving forward. I had a ball.
That's wonderful. We are talking to the talented Carmen Lundy. For those of you who are in chat, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Those of you that are wondering where is our chat, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople, you can tune in to the show online as well as our chat room. And if you'd like to call in and say hi, the number to call in is 949-209-2956. And we will take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Harry Elston with the Friends of Distinction, and you are listening to ColoredPeople.net with your host, Tanya Marie.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to ColoredPeople.net on Blog Talk Radio. We are a multicultural artistic network, and we're sponsored by HealthRoads.net. Check out their blog at zealforlife.com, zealforlifeproducts.com. That's live radio for you. No editing. We're back with Carmen Lundy, and we're talking about her journey through life and her beautiful music that she has blessed us with. And we are circa 1978 in New York City right now. And, Carmen, I'm going to ask you about your trio, right? That was in 1980 when you had Onaji, who's also a member of our network. We're so honored to have both of you in our community. But tell us about the trio.
Well, you know, the trios were always changing, and I think that's to be expected. And as you grow and evolve, and the one person that you sometimes depend on a particular instrument can sometimes have other obligations that prevent them from being with you and me in that particular performance setting. So I would say that Onaji is one. He was great. I love working with flexible, versatile artists in their own right. You know, he's a great pianist. A great pianist is one thing, but a great accompanist on the piano is another. I've enjoyed working with many great artists, and the trio has sometimes included my brother bassist Curtis Lundy for many years, so many others, through my career. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, you wanted to mention 1980. In 1980, you know, a full decade of performances inside Europe, all over the world, really, you know, into the 90s. And now we're into a new millennium, and we're into the second decade of a new millennium. So my career has spanned this many, many years of shared performances with so many greats. Because, you know, as a singer, I'm always going to come to the stage with someone else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an a cappella kind of a experience performing, especially as a vocalist. So I've tried to expand from trios whenever I could to include percussion, as we mentioned before, so you would have a basic group, piano, bass, and drums. I also like when the pianist, if it's available, can play other keyboards as well as the piano. I like an acoustic bass. I like an electric bass. I like a drummer who can swing and also play other styles, more contemporary styles. You know, and I also love having the guitar in the group, saxophone, trumpet. The new record, Soul to Soul, has everything I just mentioned, including a harpist, a vibraphonist, and for those of you who don't know what a vibraphonist is, some people will say xylophone, but a xylophone is very much the child's version of the vibraphone. I have a couple of records where I've been recorded with the full orchestra. So it goes from a trio setting. Lately I've been, you know, I love working with just piano and voice sometimes. So you might hear me doing something with just a piano player. Sometimes it's not even as large of a group as a trio or quartet. So it varies. And I think the variable is how you kind of get an idea for really where you're coming from musically and what you really come to say and what makes your music different from the next artist. So these are all things that have helped to shape my development. And a shout-out to Onaje Allen Gums, by the way. Haven't worked with him in many years, but he's you can hear Onaje and I, our work together on my second CD. My first CD is called Good Morning Kiss. The second is called Moment to Moment. And in between, actually, there is a second I should tell you about. Moment to Moment is number
Night
three with Onaje. But number two is called Night and Day, where the entire record is all standards. You know, most of my recordings, I have all of my original compositions. So this one is unique. But the one with Onaje is called Moment to Moment. Then there's the JVC recordings, Self-Portrait. There's Old Devil Moon, and we're talking, and this is my 14th release now. So
yes.
As I speak to you, I'm reflecting on many, many decades now of a career.
Love Me Forever and Onaje again with This is Carmen Lundy in 2001.
That's right. That's right. With
yes.
Onaje and Anthony Wansley both are on that This is Carmen Lundy. That's correct.
That's wonderful.
And
while
I'm
we're at
spoiled.
It,
I work with great people.
You are very blessed. You've had such a wonderful career and wonderful musicians and angels that have come around and placed, you know, a breath of life in your career and guided you through different discoveries. And it's so inspiring to watch and to listen to you in a video that you did for the Live at Madrid.
Right.
That was so inspiring. That was so beautiful to hear you talk about your career and how Peter, I forgot his last name.
Father O'Brien, yes.
He was it Peter that introduced you?
Yes.
And he said that it's a sacred experience. You know,
wow.
There are very few things that are sacred in life, the child, laughter, you know, love and so forth, and your performance and your music. And that is the highest honor. That was so awesome to hear him say that.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful, beautiful video.
We all, you know, we all aspire to do our very best in life and whatever we choose. I mean, I just happened to find out early on, and I just have pursued that. And I'm working at becoming the very best I can be as I grow and meet more people and share the music.
Yes. again, to our listeners, I just wanted to complete the list. We have Come Home in 2008 with Jerry Allen, who's also in this new release, and Solamente, which, as you said, sometimes all you need is a piano and your voice, and the many, many instruments that you play, which is amazing, that you also have played in this album, the piano, Rhodes, keyboards, guitar, drums, percussion, string arrangements.
Yeah.
You are so incredibly talented. But Solamente, I have this song that I've been blessed with out of so many songs you've done, but Show Me a Sign.
Mm-hmm.
Show Me a Sign. I was in tears when I heard it the first time.
Wow.
And I don't know if you've recorded it. I think you did that in another album without collaborations with many. I'm sure you've recorded it many times, but
actually
the first
not.
Time I heard it. Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No, it can be heard on the Mosaic Project, Terry Lynn Carrington's release, 2011
yes.
release.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you consider adding that to this album, Soul to Soul?
You know, I might have, and I think we need to do that again. I think that when we got to Soul to Soul, we were recording it, and we were into this project very, very deeply. We actually realized toward the end, when we were printing the final CD, that we had too many songs. So we actually had more songs than could fit on a CD.
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean,
I think there's another project really in the near future where we'll carry over some of the songs that didn't fit on this one. And it would be interesting to try doing Show Me a Sign with a new treatment and seeing how what that would be like played more fully. You know, when I say fully, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, to really orchestrate that and try to give it a huge,
yes.
wide breath.
Yes. But just as is in Solamente is, you know, we can feel you. Just like when I listened to Billie Holiday, I could feel her. I could feel her spirit. I could feel her soul. I could feel her pain, you know. And mm-hmm. with Show Me a Sign, I felt that. And it was, mm-hmm. I don't know what it means to you. I haven't researched that. Would you like to tell us?
Well, Show Me a Sign is inspired by the loss of a parent.
Okay.
That's it. That was that moment. And I spend many, many hours of the day working at my craft. And there are moments when you're just kind of, you know, you find yourself reflecting on your life. And when you work, sometimes things are triggered. Something
yeah.
triggers something else. And on that particular day, it was just a moment where it all came as one thought, one feeling, one idea, and that's what you have on Solomon, on that particular recording of Show Me a Sign.
Yeah.
It's just that thought and that moment of the day where the profound sense of loss is so overwhelming
mm-hmm.
that one needs to work through it or find some
yeah.
resolve, and that's what you're hearing.
It's beautiful, truly beautiful. We are talking to Carmen Lundy, talented, soulful jazz vocalist, and so much more. We're going to take a little break. I'd like to play for you Life is a Song in Me, which is also a wonderful song, a joyful song, and it speaks so much of Carmen's life and her joy and her performances and her presence. So this is colorpeople.net. I'm Tanya Maria with Carmen Lundy. We'll be right back.
Drawn the bonds of me in my a feeling that I recognize. The many things that we have known before. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Jazz vocalist, and I live in Japan. Hope to see you guys soon. Best wishes from Osaka. Bye-bye. Atelago.
Welcome back.
That's cool.
She posted on one of my groups when I was talking about this show. She said, oh, there's so much to learn from her. And I'm like, yes. There is. Welcome back. This is a lovely song and so upbeat, and all of your music has a beautiful message. And 2 years in the making, Soul to Soul.
Mm-hmm.
To all of you listening, will be released September 23rd. You can go to CarmenLundy.com and also get the list of her schedule starting in October. And I really wish you would come out this way soon, Carmen. I'm near D.C., and you were here not too long ago, right?
Yeah, I'll be there again next year at the Betty Carter's Jazz Ahead program, where I work with musicians that are aspiring to make a career as composers and performers, and they come and they spend 2 weeks with myself and other mentors, including Jason Moran, Eric Harlan, and several other faculty members, and we spend 2 weeks at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., representing Betty Carter's Jazz Ahead program. So if you're 25 years of age or younger, you're eligible to submit an application to that program, and you should check it out. Just go online and type in Betty Carter's Jazz Ahead and find out about that. So, yeah, I'm coming back to D.C. I know that you're in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
I want to give a shout-out to Lenora Helms over at Central University. She's doing a great job over there in the jazz program, North Carolina Central. And everybody over at Shaw, I have family members who are graduates or alumni at Shaw University. So I think it's very fitting. I think I was actually might have done the first jazz festival at Shaw University many years ago. I have the distinctive honor of being the first jazz vocalist to perform on that campus in that setting. And so just a lot of positive energy coming from you guys, and I want to thank you all for your support.
Awesome. Carmen Lundy, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in and say hello, the number is 949-209-2956. And back to 2 years in the making for Soul to Soul. Let's talk about this wonderful album. First of all, gathering all the great artists, let me just mention everyone in this album briefly. We have Patrice Russian, piano, rhodes, and keyboards, Daryl Hall, acoustic and electric bass, Jameson Ross, drums and percussion, Jerry Allen, piano and rhodes, Randy Brecker, trumpet and flugelhorn, and Mayra Casales, percussion and congas, and Cynthia, I cannot pronounce her name correctly, I apologize. Cynthia Dana. Wonderful. We will listen to Grace at the end of the show. We have Benny Maupin, tenor and soprano sax, Carol Robbins, harp, wonderful harp, oh my goodness, and Ada Rovati, tenor sax, and Warren Wolf. In vibes,
mm-hmm.
the harp in oh my goodness, where is that song with help me, Carmen? I
the harp
misplaced
I'm
my
just
notes.
Curious
which,
as to which one you're referring to. Is it a ballad?
On
the slow.
The when will they learn?
Oh, when will they
when
learn?
When will they learn? That was
the
a
harp.
Beautiful Carol Robbins. What
Carol
an inspiration.
Robbins. Yes, you're very
Tell
fortunate
the,
to come to learn of her. And she's an absolutely one of the most exquisite musical masters that we have right now on Earth. Mm-hmm. And she's I've had some really unbelievably beautiful moments with the sound that she makes on the harp. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. When will they learn? What a beautiful song.
Thank you very much.
Oh, my. Okay, Kindred Spirits. I also love this one. I was listening with my 8-year-old, and she goes to me, I've heard that before. What are you talking about? heard that before? I'm like, yes, you have.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but that one's back the top. There's nothing else. It's not going to get any better today.
So we have, you know, it's like a journey through your life, kindred spirits. I love it. You talk about your upbringing and, you know, the things you've heard as a child. And we hear the organ and the gospel, you know, your mother's.
Yeah, you got it. My aunt
is
an incredible organist, and I think more souls were saved behind the sound that my aunt used to throw down on the Hammond B3. So when we started tracking that tune, Patrice, you know, I played piano on that, so we really didn't want to, I'm trying to remember how we did it, but I think what happens is we were just kind of left what I, and I said, and we were starting to record, and I was thinking, my childhood, what is, where, you know, and I remembered the sound right then and there of that organ. So I asked Patrice, oh, could you play the organ on this? Just to for you to say what you just said. You hear that. That is fantastic.
Yes.
That you hear that.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I connected immediately. It's like that is her life. That is her life story, you know. That is great. Now, you play the guitar on all tracks, piano on Kindred Spirits, and Electric Roads on Don't You Know How I Feel.
Yeah,
and
you know,
percussion.
The guitar thing is it wasn't really my intention to release this with my guitar in the music. Okay. I had spoken to other guitarists about their availability, and the closer we got to the project, the more I was accepting of the way I sounded, because it's an instrument that I've been playing for no more than, I don't know, 3-4 years. So I'm not really, I haven't developed the kind of skill that certainly all these other musicians on this record know and have mastered their instruments. For me, it's just a tool to write and to kind of find a way to get ideas in a simple way. So the fact that you're hearing the guitar on the record and it's me is something that's, you know, I feel very vulnerable even talking to you about it. But at the same time, I felt the musicians wouldn't have allowed me to really release the record with my performances on them if it really wasn't up to snuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I had enough great people around me to reassure me that I was going to be okay leaving it. And that's why you hear that. And
right.
the piano and all those other things were my initial tracks. You're hearing pretty much for the most of the record, you're hearing the conception, the inception of a lot of these songs, and you're kind of hearing how they evolved when you hear the other players with me. So it's a wonderful, I mean, that in and of itself, I think, is the journey for me at this point in rendering some new ideas. I mean, and truly, it's I mean, the grooves are familiar. I mean, we kind of like know what a good swing beat feels like, and we know what a good funk tune feels like. But I think it's the new ideas and my kind of telling you a little bit more about what life is like or how I see it right now for me and for the people that I've come to know and love and appreciate. So I think it's just my little take on what life is like on the planet right now for women for colored people.
Speaking of guitar, your album prior to Soul to Soul Changes in 2012, you had the blessing to work with Oscar Castro Neves, who sadly passed away this month a year ago, and it's so sad to have lost such a wonderful artist and human being, but such a talented man. Tell me, how did you come about to work with him, and how was that experience to having his guitar work in your album?
You know, the word master comes up again. We were label mates many years ago when we were on JVC, but I think we might have done one concert together back in the 90s, the mid-90s. When I got close to the making of Changes, that's where I clearly fell in love with the idea of writing music on the guitar, and the song that Oscar's playing on was the first bossa nova I ever, the first song I ever wrote on the guitar, Where Love Surrounds Us. So I had a feeling for the guitar vocal intimacy, you know, the thing we associate so well with Jobim and Elis Regina, that sound, or Caetano Veloso, and the way he sounds when he's accompanying himself, Milton Nascimento, you know, the way he sounds, Javan, that sound, that intimate sound,
my
I
gosh.
Love that sound.
I'm homesick.
And I live in Los Angeles, you know, I'm in America, and so is Oscar, and he was right here in Southern California, and he was available to do it. And when we got into the recording session, and it was time to make the record, and I was apologizing, oh, this is my first song on the guitar, Oscar. And he said, what are you doing? Why are you playing this like a bossa nova? Let's just do it together, you and me. And that's just the wonderful veteran, wise, you know, seasoned, well-traveled, universal, globally beautiful man said to me.
Yes.
And we went with that feeling. So what you're hearing, again, is something that is so fresh and so new to him, new to me. And I think we offered it in a very sincere way. And what more can I ask? You know, that to be accompanied by one of the greatest guitarists in our modern era, I mean, what can I tell you? It was just an honor.
Indeed. What a blessing. Speaking of being well-traveled, of course, you've been all over the world, and you're getting ready to travel again to the UK and France in October. You have a very, very busy schedule coming up, Austria and Ireland and Canada, so on. But your collaboration with Simfiwe Dana, I read that you were about 2 months working on Grace. Originally, you were going to do it one way, and tell us how the meeting went, because this was a divine intervention, because this is incredibly beautiful music.
Well, Grace is, I wanted, Simfiwe is born and raised in South Africa. I think she's from Johannesburg, if I'm correct. And we met serendipitously. She was in concert here in Southern California. And ultimately, we found ourselves spending a few days sharing differences, you know, all cultural differences. And you know, and they treated me so beautiful when I was in South Africa. It was only my proper that I should return the gesture, you know, and just try to expose them to a little of our African-American culture and, you know, with the cuisine, everything. So when we got around to talking about music, I expressed with her the song I had been working on for so many months and that I was haunted by it but didn't really feel I was making any progress on it, and told her the inspiration for the song has to do with the journey of a people, and I explained to her the origins of what has now become recognized as an American hymn, the hymn called Amazing Grace, and I explained to her the history of the composition, and anybody can find that out, just go to Wikipedia, and I explained to her in a way that was my perspective of that kind of a way of realizing something but continuing to make the same mistakes over and over again. So when I explained to her my inspiration for the song, she just said I need to sing right now. Where can I begin to write this down? And then we began to record the music, and that beautiful moment is something that could have only happened as a result of our having met as an American woman, a South African woman of the modern era. Again, I'm using that term again, as we reflect on the experience of being women and being women of color. And you're getting all of that in that recording. You're getting a lot of sincerity from that rendering that Simfiwe inspired so beautifully. To say that story, you know, the images are so profound as I listen to that, that I I felt compelled to do a visual rendering of Grace as well. So you can find the video on my channel, my YouTube channel. There's a video called Grace that I think you would really kind of get more what I've tried to describe to you in the conversation. I think you'll see it.
Yes.
Very clearly.
I did see it, and I did post it on our Facebook page, and it's a gorgeous visually and the meaning and you know, just the whole project is.
Yeah, and those images on the video are from my experience in South Africa, not only South Africa, the country, but also in Angola and Botswana and other countries in Africa that I've visited. So those are true images coming from that wonderful time, those several experiences, and also having her visit us in Southern California. So it's an honest way of saying, you know, of looking at where we are now,
mm-hmm.
and where we've come from, and really where we are now.
Yeah.
Which has to, you know, it just begs the question, where are we going?
Yes. Well, there are 13 tracks on Soul to Soul, Kindred Spirits, Life is a Song in Me, Soul to Soul, When Will They Learn, Daybreak, Between Darkness and Dawn, Grace, Grateful Part 1 and Grateful Part 2 for when you're up and when you're down. You're grateful either way. Everything I need, don't you know how I feel, Sardinia. Sardinia is beautiful.
Thank you.
And what's your story, Morning Glory? I love that you added that song. It's
Mary Lou Williams.
Yes.
Yes, Raleigh Durham.
Yes.
Wait a second. Isn't Mary Lou Williams in
yes.
Duke University? The Mary Lou Williams Center at Duke
goodness.
University, North Carolina.
Wow. Nothing's a coincidence, is it? We were meant to meet. I can't wait to meet you in person. Can't wait to experience you live. But I'm honored to have you on our show. You will forever be a part of our community. Your artwork. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk quickly about your artwork.
I'm going to have an exhibition in Miami at WDNA, which is a jazz radio station, a wonderful group of people down there. They have, it's also an art gallery, and they've invited me to show my work in Miami from just November 20th to January. And,
wow,
so I'm excited about that. I'm really excited about my work being exhibited for
yes.
almost 6 weeks in my hometown. So I will look forward to
yes.
that. But you can also see a lot of
that
my work
wonderful.
On the website, www.carmenlundy.com. And I've just finished another painting last night, which I can't wait to. I think that'll be part of the exhibit in Miami. And I'm
yes.
working on another one, and hopefully they'll be dry by then.
Now, when did you start painting, and what was your very first painting?
I started painting in 1990. I found myself lucky enough to be living on the ocean in Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went out and got a starter kit and bought an easel and just started and put a bowl of fruit on my dining room table and sketched it. And my first painting sits in my mother's house right now, and it's a bowl of fruit on an 8x10 cardboard. I think I began to sketch while I was on the road back in the late 80s in Europe, a bus and truck tour of Sophisticated Ladies, Duke Ellington's Broadway show. And I think I just started sketching as a way to kind of keep myself together in such a arduous six-month tour.
Yeah.
In Europe. So that was my little bit of a respite, I would call it. I don't know. And it just kept growing. So now, all these years later, I just like having that kind of a balance, and it's a great way to get away from the music and still hear the music and feel connected to some kind of creative, intuitiveness and
yeah.
like that. And it's just, I'm totally verklempt, as they say. I'm totally excited about the fact that people actually are giving me some space to show my work. So I'm excited. The whole thing is
That's
fantastic.
That's wonderful. It is. Congratulations. Was it in Grateful or Kindred Spirits? I can't remember which one that you said, that you can do anything you put your mind to, anything you want.
You can be anything you choose.
Right.
Anything
which one was that? You choose, yes. Which song was that you said that? Kindred Spirits. Yes, that struck a chord with me, because you are free. You are free. You are your own limitation, and you have none. You are free to do and to be whatever you want.
That's why I am reassured at the end of the day that I got born in the right place. I'm glad I was born here. You know,
at least
my concept of freedom was there to start with, even though so many people had to fight for it, you know, for me to be able to just have this conversation with you. And I don't forget that. A lot of people paid dues for us to be able to just kind of find ourselves where we are at this place in time. And if Soul to Soul is anything, at the end of the day, as a project, it's just a way to say that it's a reminder of how fortunate we are. And I'm very grateful that the grace is what leads me. And that's it. You know, and it's not religious. It's not scientific. It's not philosophical. It's just an expression of a small slice of life.
You are blessed indeed. We are blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Carmen Lundy. Please visit her website at carmenlundy.com. You will find her beautiful artwork. She's also on Facebook, facebook.com/CarmenLundyMusic, and on Twitter under Carmen Lundy. And her YouTube channel is youtube.com/TheRealCarmenLundy, where you can see so many wonderful videos, the account of some of her concerts, and the beautiful life of Carmen Lundy, and of course her dates that where she will be appearing.
And I'm going to be in, if you're in LA, we're doing a CD release October 10th. We're having a CD release party, so there, you know, you'll hear Patrice Rushen. Kenny Davis on bass, Jameson Ross. You'll hear Carol Robbins, and we spoke of her. And you'll hear this young guitarist that I'm introducing to my audiences. His name is Andrew Renfro from the South. Yeah, he's from Florida. That's right, he's from Florida. Studying at Juilliard. So Andrew Renfro will be joining us for this. And it's just a kickoff to a West Coast tour, and then we're off to Europe. So stay tuned with us. And perhaps we're going to be near you. And if not, you can certainly mark that date down and save it, October 10th. We'll be celebrating at the Blue Whale here in Los Angeles. The release of Soul to Soul, September 23rd.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had the blessing and the honor to spend an hour with the beautiful Carmen Lundy. And Carmen, any closing thoughts?
Just have a beautiful day and continue on this path to the best in life. That's all I can say. Just make the best of it. Make the best of it.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for the honor. I'm looking forward to meeting you one day. In the meantime, I'll be connecting with you online, and thank you to Miles High Production for making this possible.
And to all your friends in Brazil, ask them to ask me to come there.
Yes.
Or to come there again.
Okay. Will do.
Thank you.
And hopefully we can have you back on the show when your time permits. And have a wonderful tour. And
thank you.
Bless you, as always. And thank you so much for pouring your heart out to us. And
thank you, Tanya Maria.
I drink it all up.
Pleasure.
Thank you, dear.
Okay.
Beijo. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. have walked for so long with our hands to the ground. Amazing grace. We have died for so long with our hands under the moon. Why they were calling me quiet for not amazing grace.
Save me now.
Save me now from the birth becomes my end. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And we've come along.
Why say go call me? Why you call me?